I've been experimenting with some different ones. What do you mean?
Like one or two bags. One or two bags in a
Yeah. No, just go one. I mean, I'm new to the whole tea world. It's not something I'm going to get too aggressive with. I'll be silly. I've been a coffee guy my whole life, so my wife's been sort of drawing me into the tea area of things. I like a good licorice root tea with a little bit of honey. Not opposed to an Earl Grey a la Jean-Luc Picard from Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm learning.
Nice. Okay. Well, Shagar, I've been learning lots.
Okay? I don't know.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I rarely open any question. I love how you answered it and then realized what you were answering. So that was my favorite part of asking that question.
Yeah, well, whatever. I didn't know what I was walking into, so thanks.
I've been following along as your the updates on who's on the ice and who's not on the ice. It sounds like Byfield. So are they going two-a-days right now for the World Juniors? What's happening?
Yeah, so they have a massive group of like 47, 48 players. They are going two-a-days, but they've split them into two groups. So these coaches are doing four practices a day. They're going morning and then late afternoon. But I kind of get it to a certain extent, you guys, because you got to think about the shape of this training camp for these players. All they have is the hotel and the rink. This thing lasts a month.
Yeah.
So why would you only want to do one skate a day? So they're going two shorter skates a day. I mean, it's not like the guys can go to movies. It's not like they can go to restaurants and hang out or visit with family or get free time or go for a walk or rent a bike. You can't. So they're having to stretch out, you know, their ice times over two a days. And this is going to be a real challenge for this coaching staff just to, you know, keep everybody focused, keep everybody engaged, keep everybody feeling okay. Like this is, you know, they've got, you know, people, mental health specialists and people for these guys to talk to if they need to. They're really going to try and take care of their mental well-being through this because there's lots of pressure for these guys. They're teenagers. And where do you go with that pressure, right? It sits in your head. So normally you would go do things to get away from it when you weren't on the ice. But there's nowhere to go. So they're having to be, you know, they're having to be smart about this.
What's the risk of going for so long, for so intense for Team Canada once they are Team Canada?
What's the risk?
Yeah, like as far as just, is there a risk of just going too long with this intensity as they head into a tournament and whatever day starts just on before Christmas Day or Christmas Day?
Yeah. So what they're going to do is they're going to have two-a-day practices, and they're going to have two inter-squad games on the weekend. And then they're going to play six games against U Sports teams. So it is going to be broken up with some actual games in there, not just going at each other. But I take your point, Strutty. Like, it's a long haul. But consider this. Most of these guys haven't played games since February, March. And so they're going to be entering into a tournament playing against a whole bunch of guys who have been playing. And so they felt they needed a lot of runway to give their guys the best chance possible to be up to speed and ready and playing. They're playing a ton of games. I mean, that's basically eight games for these guys to show their stuff. It is a long haul. There's no question. But they were doing nothing. Like, other than the Q guys and a couple NCAA guys, I mean, the Dub and the OHL guys, I mean, they were just sitting around waiting for things to get going. So it's a calculated risk, but they wanted to give them lots of time to get up to speed.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. And, you know, you mentioned the latter players who haven't played. I'm sure they're just ecstatic to get on the ice for many of them, especially even like I saw some of the, you know, the drills that you were videoing and, you know, little one-on-one and two-on-two battles, something that a lot of these guys probably haven't done in quite some time. So that's kind of a return to normal for them a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And, it, you know, Andre Tourigny, like his challenge here is really interesting because, you know, we talked about this today, you know, in our Sports Center hit. So during practice, he's actually pretty hard on the guys. Like he's yelling a lot. He's on guys and he's demanding and he wants to see what he wants to see. But that's going to get old over the course of a month, right? Like, it gets old when you're, you know, in the throes of a regular season and you got games every second or third day. Never mind practicing every day, multiple times a day. At the same time, he's showing a softer touch at times. You know, we can hear him. He'll bring the group over. And, like, his first group this morning, he called them in and said, listen, if you're feeling frustrated learning these systems, you know, it's okay. We have time. You know, I'm really proud of you guys today. You worked extremely hard. This was a great practice. I'm proud of you. You know, so it's kind of this carrot and stick mentality where he needs to strike a different type of balance here, because these players at a camp like this to make this team are under a different type of pressure. And so it's going to be a real challenge for him to keep it all on the right side of the line. But so far it's been intense. The players have been engaged. They're working hard. Let's check in 16, 17 days and see where things are at.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, talking all things World Junior right now. He'll be covering that over the Christmas break. Shogger, you know, when you look at this group that's assembled, I saw a pretty cool little kick pass from Kirby Doc. Are there some players that are clearly separating themselves, even though it's just a few days, with what they've done in the NHL already and done in this camp, perhaps?
Sorry, Strud, you broke up right at the end there. Can you give me that the tail end,
like,
of that again?
Some of those top players, like Kirby Doc, is he clearly separate himself with his resume and also what he's done so far in this camp?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all, Edmonton Oilers fans, learned a lot about Kirby Doc in the playoffs, thinking about the type of NHL player he's going to be moving forward. I mean, he's unbelievable, and he's just an absolute beast. You know, he's a local product. And the thing about him is he's just so unbelievably focused and has been for a long, long time. So he's next level for sure. I mean, he's ready to take the next step at the NHL level, never mind, you know, and he hasn't had a chance to play at a World Junior. So yes, he stands out. The skill he showed with that kick pass today was just stupid. And he will be, you know, their number one center and arguably their most important forward, if not most important player. Now that's assuming he's available, right? Because the agreement right now is that if the NHL gets up and running and the Chicago Blackhawks need him, he's going. That would be a big loss for this team. Bowen Byram, for me, just stands out in a big way here. You know, just the way he moves, the way he, you know, can make passes and make plays and how smooth he is. Canada's got some real good talent here. Like, there are some really good players here that are going to be difference makers for him in this tournament. And that's without Alexei Lafreniere here.
Speaking of Lafreniere, do you think there's any chance he shows up late?
Yeah, so I think if the National Hockey League, you know, for whatever reason, if it falls through, or they decide the dollars and cents don't make sense, or they push the start date back to February 1st, I think the window opens a little bit. I think Hockey Canada will happily keep that window open. And I think there's a pathway for him to, because I believe he's in the United States right now. I believe there's a pathway for him to come across the border, you know, do some rapid testing, and then get into the World Junior bubble in short order. So I think that the logistics are there for it to happen, and it really all depends on what happens around the National Hockey League. I don't think he's going to miss an NHL training camp to be here. I don't think he's going to miss any NHL games to be here. But if neither of those things are happening, let's put a soft maybe on it.
What do you think would be the biggest holdup to an NHL season happening, start date to be determined?
Probably money, hey guys. Like, is that what you're asking, Fred? The biggest holdup to the season happening?
Yeah. Like, what? Yeah. If it doesn't happen, what would be the biggest thing? I agree. I think it's the money.
I'm surprised
I haven't talked more about the money so far.
Yeah, and I think we're getting to it, right? I think, you know, I mean, look, we don't have all of the ins and outs of all of their financials, but this we know. With no fans in the seats, trying to play a full schedule with no fans is a money-losing proposition for them. And so where's the breaking point, right? How many games can you play? At what point are you just losing too much money? Some will lose more than others. How's it fair to the Canadian teams with what their travel expenses and flights and such are going to look like versus, you know, playing an all-Canadian division versus what the dollars and cents travel-wise look like for the Metro, you know, teams in and around the New York area? How do you make it the same for everybody? Teams are faced with losing money this year. Now, there was news today, more news today about the vaccine and about how fast it may be able to get distributed and how soon the province may and Canada may even start seeing some of this. And if this inertia on this vaccine continues, it really changes the algebra for the National Hockey League. Because if there's a possibility that you could be looking at, you know, large portions of the population that are vaccinated by March, April, May, your chances of getting butts in seats go way up. So they have to be keeping a close eye on this and you know, probably pretty excited that there's a chance that this might be able, there might be some meaningful distribution within a reasonable timeline.
Shogger, enjoy the two-a-days. Does that mean you're doing two workouts a day as well?
Yeah, right. Yeah, if you consider a foot-long Subway a workout and do Tim Hortons bagels for breakfast. So, yeah, I would say my two-a-days are going great.
Nice, nice. Well, keep that up. Keep that up, buddy. Pace yourself. Don't go too hard too fast.
Sounds good, guys.